you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable, they're very fashionable, and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Seth Morris, Chester Floyd, Sean Weaver, Corinne Schneider, Corey Calkins, and special guest and Black Rifle Coffee Company founder, Evan Hafer. Evan, this is your first time playing. How do you feel about trivia?
I feel great about it.
Do you?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I mean, not necessarily this one, but okay, just trivia in general. I have a positive outlook on it.
Well, if you like general trivia and you're someone who likes...
positive outlook on questions.
Yeah. If you're someone who likes trivia and you also like hunting and fishing, then I think you'll do okay.
We'll see.
All right. Steve, you've kind of sussed him out by now. How do you think he's going to perform?
He's playing it. He's trying to do like the I don't really care, it'll just be fun kind of thing. So he's trying to downplay.
Uh-huh.
I told him about getting thrown a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He seemed to actually not like
getting
thrown a bone.
Okay.
So you might want to cut that out.
Yeah. Maybe it's a difficult question. So not really a bone. We'll see.
Okay.
Is that a reality? Are you kind of downplaying like your passion about winning?
No, I'm very passionate about winning.
Okay.
I'm just not confident I'm going to win.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if I'm downplaying it. I'm just more of a realist.
Yeah. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there's a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. In each episode, we reveal a new trivia stat. This week, we're looking at player performance in the hunting category. Although most players get over half of their hunting questions correct, Brody leads the group with a 79% average. That's followed by Hayden, who gets 77% of hunting questions right. Chester with 63, Sean with 58, Steve with 55, and Giannis with 53.
There's no way that's true. There's no way that's true.
We have very thorough stat keeping. Hunting is our second most popular category in trivia, only behind conservation. So that's where Brody makes up his ground on you. He's 20 percentage points better when it comes to hunting questions. The rest of it, you guys are all kind of even.
Turns out you don't know much about hunting.
I don't, man. And Brody knows a lot.
He does. Now, we have some housekeeping to get to before we play trivia. On episode 353 of Meat Eater Trivia, I asked what type of bird is a squab. The correct answer was pigeon, but Steve argued I shouldn't accept any answer that isn't rock dove. Play the clip, Phil. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Eurasian rock dove, Andrew saying pigeon, Kevin saying
pigeon.
There's
too many pigeon. Kinds of pigeons. Too many kinds
saying
of pigeons.
Pigeon, Corinne saying quail, yeah. Sean saying pigeon, and Byron saying pigeon.
What
the
did
correct
you say
answer
to me beforehand? Don't overthink it. That was your advice to me.
The correct answer is pigeon.
They're the same bird.
Which is?
They're the same
Eurasian
bird.
Rock dove. We'll give it to you.
But you can't give it to them.
Yes, they get that.
There's too many kinds of pigeons.
The dictionary says it's an immature pigeon. I'm now handing Steve a copy of his own New York Times bestseller.
Where I have it right.
The Meat Eater Fish and Game Cookbook. Steve, please turn to page 166 and read the section I've highlighted.
It says, also works with. So in this book. No, okay. In this book, here's the problem with wild game cooking. You could say something like, hey, here's a great way to cook a deer heart. And then people would be like, well, do you have any way to cook an elk heart? Right? No difference.
Mm-hmm.
So the also works with section will kind of give you a little heads up.
Yep.
So this recipe we're looking at here is grilled grouse with cayenne butter. And I point out, also works with any white-fleshed game bird up to the size of a pheasant and also squab. Then there's a parenthetical. In case you're wondering, a squab is a baby street pigeon. Which is true.
So there you have it from the man's own cookbook. No. You were arguing in the trivia that I shouldn't accept anything less than Eurasian rock dog.
Oh, no. I was arguing that you can't just... No, you don't even know what your argument's about. I argued that you can't just say pigeon.
So you would have accepted street pigeon?
Absolutely. It's the same species.
But not pigeon.
Columbolivia is his Linnaean name.
Uh-huh.
Columbolivia is the Eurasian rock dove in Eurasia. It's the common street pigeon in the U.S. I wouldn't accept, for instance, the band-tailed pigeon. And if someone just writes pigeon, I don't know what pigeon you're talking about. Thank you for backing this up with my own damn book. Okay. It's like, you got Newhart.
We're still not Newhart, on the same page.
Newhart's got Newhart.
Oh, I'm so screwed.
We haven't even started playing yet.
Welcome to the Thunderdome.
Now, the Shelby Index for this episode is a 3, so it's a tougher round of questions. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Go ahead.
Spencer tries the questions out with his wife, who's not a particularly a connoisseur of the subject matter, and he'll do an index. And a Shelby Index of 3 is usually the winner will get about twice what Shelby gets.
Got it.
And 6 would be on the lower end of a winning
That's
score.
That's a weak win.
Oh, okay.
7 would be about average. 8, you did well. 6 means it's a tougher round. Okay. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, the topic is cooking, and as always, this will be multiple choice. Which of these measurements is biggest? A quarter cup, 4 tablespoons, 12 teaspoons, or 4 fluid ounces? Which of these measurements is biggest? A quarter cup, 4 tablespoons, 12 teaspoons, or 4 fluid ounces? Sean with a quick answer. You think you know this one, Sean?
Nope, just sticking with my gut.
Okay. All right, Chester, you're running out of time. How you doing? Got an answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey Culkin saying a quarter cup, Sean saying 4 ounces, Seth saying 4 ounces, Evan saying a quarter cup, Steve saying 4 ounces, Corinne saying 4 ounces, and Chester saying a quarter cup. The correct answer is 4 fluid ounces.
Oh! Yeah, in fact, the top 3 are all synonyms.
They are. You're exactly right. 4 fluid ounces is twice as big as all of those other measurements. When converted to tablespoons, a quarter cup and 12 teaspoons are 4 tablespoons. But 4 fluid ounces is the equivalent of 8 tablespoons.
That was a good question.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Perfect game so far over here, buddy.
Question 2. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Nate Bunker. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com, or you can be like Nate and write me a letter. This is the only trivia question I've received via snail mail.
Hey, real quick, who's the guy that's all bent out of shape and is emailing everybody and their brother about some correction?
We'll get to that one in some other episode. We can only do so much housekeeping in an episode. What do you call the distinct layer in a lake that separates warm surface water from cool deep water? The topic is fishing. What do you call the distinct layer in a lake that separates warm surface water from cool deep water? Seth, you know this one?
Yep.
Steve, you look like you knew it.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, I think she just whispered the answer.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
I was talking to myself about how.
Did she whisper the answer, Chester?
I do not think so. I didn't hear it.
Okay.
So.
Maybe it was in my head.
Does everybody have an
just
answer?
Just hearing things now in trivia.
Everybody have an answer?
Monculus is going that hard that it just whispers to you now.
I got to take these glasses off.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey saying sub, Sean saying thermocline, Seth saying thermocline, Evan without an answer, Steve saying thermocline, Corinne without an answer, and Chester saying thermocline. They got it. The correct answer is thermocline. According to fisheries biologist Dave Drevs, these are important areas for anglers to focus on during the heat of the summer. Above the thermocline is often hot water, while below it usually lacks oxygen. So the thermocline represents a region where fish can benefit from dissolved oxygen levels near the surface, but also be comfortable in cooler waters.
Hmm. Yeah, Spencer, a couple weekends ago I was walleye fishing. Just a side note.
You?
And the walleye were sitting right on the thermocline.
Really?
And you can mark it on your electronics.
That's great. A lot of times you can see that thermocline on your graph.
And do you think they were there out of like comfort or because the bait fish were there?
Probably comfort because the bait was higher in the in the column. I think they were sliding up in the evenings.
And at a certain time of year, that thermocline, once it hits a certain temp, will flip.
Yeah, inverts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's called turnover.
That's right. Question three. The topic is hunting. What is the only state that has a whitetail and turkey season in July? What is the only state that has a whitetail and turkey season in July? Quick answer from Sean. The rest of the room has yet to come up with anything.
I'm actually fairly confident. Knock on wood.
Only state.
I think
in July.
In July. There's no trickeration here. It's not like some urban depredation hunt. These are just like a real season for whitetail and a real season for turkey in July. Does everybody have an answer?
Well, here's the deal.
This one's pretty black and white.
I remember something. I just don't know what.
That's the thing, Spencer.
There's a lot of things.
There's no whisper this time coming from Corinne.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey saying Texas, Sean saying Florida, Seth saying Texas, Evan saying Georgia, Steve saying Indiana. What's that say? Indiana?
Okay, I can't explain.
Corinne saying Georgia and Chester saying Texas. We have a correct answer in the room. It's Florida.
Oh,
nice.
Sean.
Nice.
Sean.
In 2022.
Did you know or just write some shit down?
No, I knew that. Okay. Yeah.
In 2022, parts of Florida had deer and turkey seasons open on July 31st. Florida has some of the longest hunting seasons in the country. Deer can be hunted there from July to February, while the only months without a turkey season are May and June.
Help me with something here.
What's up?
I'm not arguing, contesting, nothing.
Yep.
Not complaining.
Wow. This is new.
What was the state that started that like velvet season?
Well, Tennessee
like, specifically
recently
to give people a chance to shoot a deer in velvet.
Tennessee recently adopted one. I think the next closest early opener is South Carolina. They're like August 15. Tennessee is also in August as of recently, but only in certain areas. It's becoming more sexy for states to give hunters a chance at velvet bucks. There's a lot of places
now. And they even articulated it as though our people want to shoot a buck in velvet.
Yeah.
Therefore, we'll create an early velvet buck season.
Tennessee was a recent one. North Dakota also has one of the earliest. They open like some years. It's like August 30th. So there's a handful of states now that open all the way in August.
Dude, but with what you're talking about, they wouldn't even be, they'd have half grown antlers.
Well, they have a very diverse group of rutting herds in Florida.
Oh, different
dates. That's what you got going on there.
Yeah, it's a whole different calendar that those deer are on. Mm-hmm. And I only know that because a guy that hunts black-bellied whistling ducks down there, him and I, we're going back and forth, and he was sending me pictures of these deer he was going to be hunting the next morning.
Yeah, there's
what are you doing in Florida hunting deer that
There's early? A handful of states in the very south that have rutting deer at any point between like July and February. There's some herd that's rotting.
I would not want to go down to Florida in July to hunt deer. Really. Be hot.
Sounds brutal.
Mosquitoes.
Gators.
Question four. The topic is foraging. This next great question comes to us via Stephen Higgs. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What branch of the military teaches a foraging...
Here's your bone.
That's right. What branch of the military teaches a foraging class at the basic school in Quantico, Virginia? A quick answer from Evan. You know this one? Hide it, hide it.
I saw it.
You can see it.
I don't Steve, mind, I think you should leave your answer.
I can't change my answer?
I think you should leave it. That's what you had. Evan just revealed his answer to half the room.
What happens if I saw it?
Did you already write an answer?
Nope.
Gotta cut You're out your eyes.
Yeah. Has Chester got any right yet?
You can write anything.
He's got
but,
one.
You can write anything but what you saw.
You do whatever your heart tells you, Chester. I'll trust you.
I would say there was a 50% chance I would have got that right on a guess.
Okay.
So.
See, I'd like to change mine, but now I can't. But I wouldn't have changed
Let's flip
mine.
A coin.
Chester, like you that. Do whatever your heart tells you. You have one correct answer so
flip,
far.
Flip an eraser.
Okay.
If it's yellow, I will write what Evan wrote.
Okay. Okay, he's flipping an eraser right now. Okay. One side's black, one side's yellow.
Give it a healthy flip.
Yay!
Okay. So Chester, go ahead and write down your answer.
Who knows if that's right?
I really want to know what Chester's
Who knows if that's right, though?
Again, the question is, what branch of the military teaches a foraging class at the basic school in Quantico, Virginia? Everybody have an answer. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey saying Marines, Sean saying Navy, Seth saying Army, Evan saying Marines, Steve saying Air Force,
Corinne saying Coast Guard,
Corinne saying Marines, and Chester saying Marines. The correct answer is the Marines.
Dang it. I should know that.
The basic school formally started teaching this class in 2021. The course involves a one-hour lecture on foraging, followed by a four-hour seminar where students butcher pigs, fillet fish, and cook meat. Did you have anything like that in your training, Evan, where you guys talked about? What would be an example?
I went through three different survival schools. So, and then in basic training, they do like a little, you know, plant identification. So you're not like sleeping and poison ivy, but whether or not you're paying attention or not, really... it comes out later in a couple months if you can identify poison ivy or not. But right. Survival school, they go through a lot of that. So survival, escape, resistance, and evasion, that was like in depth. It was super fun too.
You think that's beneficial for Marines to be learning how to like butcher pigs and
yeah,
and
I do.
Fish?
I think it there's a level of confidence that you get from being able to have those skills. Whether or not you utilize them or not, there still is a significant mm-hmm. amount of confidence that comes from knowing that you can if you have to. But most people never use those skills. They'll forget about them in 15 minutes after they take the course, and they'll probably never utilize them. But if you go on and find yourself in a situation, you'll be at least a little bit more comfortable.
Question five, the topic is hunting. What famous 6'2" hunter admitted in a 2022 Facebook post that he used to be an underwear model? What famous 6'2" hunter admitted in a 2022 Facebook post that he used to be an underwear model? A quick answer from Seth. You know this one?
I know it. 100%.
Okay. He's 6'2" tall. What? Famous hunter admitted in a 2022 Facebook post that he used to be an underwear model. Does anybody besides Seth know this one?
What? I think I do, but I'm not sure.
I just can't remember the first name.
I don't know.
Who's? Can you ask questions about this 6'2"? Is he only known for hunting?
Not gonna say anymore.
Steve doesn't like people asking questions.
No.
And I'm not 6'2".
It's not Yanni. Yanni is not the answer either. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey saying Giannis Patelis. Sean saying Jim Shockey. Seth saying Jim Shockey. Evan without an answer. Steve saying Shockey. Corinne without an answer. And Chester saying Justin Bowman. The correct answer is Jim Shockey.
Wow.
On July 7, Shockey posted a picture on Facebook of his 1984 modeling headshot. He got paid $50 an hour for regular jobs or $75 an hour for underwear modeling. Shockey said, quote, "Needless to say, with that face, I got a lot of underwear jobs." So there you
Boy,
go.
Boy, there's a lot of ways that could go.
The great Jim Shockey used to be an underwear model. Mm. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Everyone is on the board. Tied up in the fourth place slot, we have Evan and Corey with one. Chester and Corinne are in third place with 2 points. Steven, Ranella, and Seth have 3 points apiece. And in first place with 4 points, it's Sean Weaver.
Ooh, Sean. Dang.
Off have to you a ever good won, Sean? Start.
I won the last time I was on.
You did?
Yeah. My reward was Chester finally gave me some of that barracuda meat.
Did he still?
No, I'm just. No, yeah, I won last time.
Already stated that I do have the barracuda in my freezer.
Oh, how when did you find that?
It was really good, actually.
How did you know?
I had it the whole time. Steve told me to give that to you, so I took it and put it in my freezer.
Okay, so one mystery solved.
I already stated that on the podcast.
That's not the mystery.
Okay.
There was a heist here. A fish heist.
A fish heist.
The great meat eater fish heist. It's going to be a movie.
We're bringing in a polygraph exam.
In your mind, Steve, what do you think happened to
someone's,
that fish?
Someone stole it.
Like I'm going to mess with Steve and steal this fish and then not admit to it. Do you think that's what happened?
That is what happened.
How do you
know? Someone stole the fish and they haven't admitted to it.
But in my head, someone like didn't know what they were grabbing and then grabbed it and now like don't even know that they
took
it.
Oh, they're like, oh, my bad. I thought that was all of my grouper and snapper. I thought that was all my cobia. I thought that was from my cobia trip I was on.
So there's no confusion.
Oh, triple tail too.
I totally forgot that I also caught a nice triple tail.
They had a good haul then. They got all that?
Yeah, the high-grade fish, dude.
Man. Maybe there's like a black market of it. Do you like look at Facebook Marketplace?
No, I have no.
Question 6.
I'm getting that polygraph in here. I'm going to find out.
I have one. I'll bring it up.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I got it from my kids.
How's that work?
I'm just joking, man. Okay.
Well, somebody in this room has contracts for their children, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was also a polygraph.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside. Planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing. Taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Deals this good are hard to come by, even at the grocery store. It's the ultimate convenience. It's delivered right to your doorstep, meaning less trips to the grocery store because you're prepared. You got a freezer loaded with a bunch of recipe-ready cuts of meat. It makes making dinner at night so much easier. The stuff is well-packaged, easy to thaw. It just encourages good home cooking. You'll have a hard time finding this kind of savings at the grocery store, and you'll get exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks, and free shipping. Today, ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/meateater, and then use code meateater to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure to use code meateater. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and run it down, you know, spread yourself thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What is the right amount of socializing for you? I know personally, this is a thing my wife and I debate about often. How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more time alone to gather yourself back up again. Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery and help you see patterns that you'd otherwise miss. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/meateater today to get 10% off your first month. And again, man, nothing to be ashamed of in finding someone private that you can talk to. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/meateater.
Question six, the topic is gear. This next great question comes to us via Steve Doppel. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The 243 Winchester, 260 Remington, and 7mm 08 Remington are offspring of what popular parent case? The 243 Winchester, 260 Remington, and 7mm 08 Remington are offspring of what popular parent case? I'm looking for you to name the cartridge that those came from. No quick answers in the room. Chester, how you feel about this one?
Okay.
You got it?
That's really confusing, man. I think this I'm all right, but that's really confusing.
All three of those cartridges. The 243 Winchester, 260 Remington, and 7mm 08 Remington are offspring of what popular parent case? When those were developed, they were developed using the case of this other cartridge, and that is called the parent case. Evan, you know this one?
Nope.
But you got a reasonable guess.
I mean, I have a guess. Whether or not it's reasonable.
Good?
Deep in thought over there.
Oh, dude, I'm struggling, man.
It's how you're classifying the definition of parent case. I don't know.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey saying 308, Sean saying 270, Seth saying 22-250, Evan saying 30 cal, Steve saying
this is their
Eckley. Yeah. Grin without an answer. Chester saying 270. We have a correct answer in the room. It's the 308 Winchester.
So that's my point. Is like the 308 on what parent case? So if it's a 308 specific round, and if we're developing it specifically from 30 cal, which is when I was generalizing.
No, they're necking down that case.
I understand that. So that's what I'm saying. Are we doing it from 30-06? Are we doing it from 308? Are we doing it from 7.62 by? What's the parent? Is it the 30 cal in the sense of 308?
It's the size
specifically
case.
308
No, the 30-06 case is totally different.
I understand that. I'm saying, are we looking at it
wrong.
From 30 cal is like the parent cal?
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that the parent case?
I would give it
to
you.
That's why I'm saying parent case is 30 cal.
I get what you're saying.
That's why I was general.
But when you look at the birth of these cartridges, they were all birthed from the 308 case. I would give it to you.
You're going to give me the 30.
You give that to
because I'm looking at it
they
from
were,
the parent.
The three, it could be like a they're not, they're not from a case from a 300 Win Mag.
I think
they're
Evan, not from a I think Evan is case. In fourth place right now, so we'll give him the correct answer.
Okay. I'm saying 30 cal is at the parent case and not like 30 cal in general. Like that's what I'm saying, general, like 30 cal, not 30 caliber.
Who had it right?
Corey Calkins.
Gun writer Ron Spomer described the 308 Winchester as one of the hardest working, most versatile parent cases. With bullet weight spanning from 40 grains to 250 grains, the 308 Winchester family hunts everything from prairie dogs to moose.
Okay.
Question 7. The topic is cooking. The American version of Hungary's national dish is made with ground meat, elbow macaroni, and tomato paste. What is it? The American version of Hungary's national dish is made with ground meat, elbow macaronis, and tomato paste. What is it? Quick answers from everybody, I think, except Evan. You know this one, Evan?
Sure.
You gotta keep it to yourself there, buddy.
Come on, man.
Chester's still thinking. Corinne, you know this? Go ahead and reveal your answers. Corey saying goulash.
Spelled it wrong.
Goulash. Seth saying hamburger helper.
I can't even read yours.
I'm just saying hungry helper is what I had on there. I don't know.
Steve saying goulash. Corinne saying goulash. And Chester saying hamburger helper.
Let's erase that.
The correct answer is goulash.
Embarrassing.
Hungry helper?
There's got to be some dude because three of us had hamburger helper.
That's what I was thinking.
Hungarian goulash.
The actual dishes.
That's clever, though. That's really good.
Hungary helper.
Same.
Well, yeah. My guess. Hungary helper.
Hungarian goulash is a soup or stew of meat and vegetables that are heavily seasoned with paprika. The American version usually leaves out the veggies, but adds pasta and cheese. If you want to try the American version, go to themeateater.com and check out Jenny Wheatley's recipe for venison goulash.
Or go to Walmart and get some hamburger helper.
Hungry helper.
Or hungry helper. That makes sense to me.
Is that a staple in your house, Steve?
No, but every time the subject, I actually have on my phone, I could prove it if I felt like it, a thing called like things to make that my kids would like. Yeah. And every time goulash comes up, I think I'm going to put it in there because I don't think they've had it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd love it.
Do they like hamburger helper?
I'm putting it in there right now.
I ate a lot of goulash growing up.
Yeah, it's a
hungry Iowa thing, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's like my German family ate a lot of goulash. That was like a ground meat staple.
You want to know what's in here right now?
Yes.
On the list of things I need to make for my kids, homemade donuts, which I haven't made them in a long time. Biscuits and gravy, which I haven't made them.
They've never had that.
Crunchwrap Supremes.
Oh, that's my specialty.
And I just had a goulash.
You know what's great is everything you described, you can get a recipe for on our website, except for donuts. I don't think we have donuts yet.
Well, we buy, you buy those tubes of that dough. You know, it's like, well, who makes that stuff?
Pillsbury.
You whap it on the corner and unravel it.
Mm-hmm.
Just take those and cut a hole in them and then deep fry them and then put powdered sugar on them. Oh, kids love it.
I think the reason why I didn't get goulash is because everyone in Wisconsin would classify that dish under a casserole or a hot dish.
Right.
Sure.
Hey, do you guys in Wisconsin, do you say casserole or hot dish? Most of the time, what do you say?
Casserole.
Yeah.
Now, what's the parent dish?
Hungry helper.
I don't know. Hamburger Helper probably doesn't even sell a goulash, but like everything they make is a variation of goulash.
Right, totally.
Question 8, the topic is public lands. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by PJ Sirianni. For sending this great question, PJ is going to get a signed copy of Meat Eater, Adventures from the Life of an American Hunter. If you want a chance to win the listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. What are public lands called in Canada? What are public lands called in Canada? This is question 8. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this.
How's Sean look, cocky?
I did not like seeing him be that happy.
A very confident Steve.
Very happy. Right
wrote
now.
It down, slammed his board, and then looked in the eyes of Sean to let him know.
I might need to change all my suck it roadies to suck it, Sean.
One more time, what are public lands called in Canada? Seth, you look like you knew this.
Oh, man. I recently heard it, but I don't know if I'm I just recently heard it on a podcast or something.
Has anybody here hunted Canada? I assume you have, Steve. Mm-hmm. And Sean, I assume you
spent
have.
Spent quite a bit of time up there on waterfowl stuff. But that's all private land, man.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody have an answer?
What movie am I doing right now? Here's a trivia question for you.
Sling Blade.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm not confident at all.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Corey without an answer, Sean saying Queensland.
What's his?
Seth saying Royal Lands, Evan saying Moosefield, Steve saying Crown Lands, Corinne saying Allotment, and Chester saying Parks.
I knew it was something.
Steve got it. The correct answer.
Sean and Seth were close. They were right there.
Where'd you go? Yeah.
Royal Lands.
I was going something like that.
89% of Canada is Crown Land. This is a commonly used moniker in countries with a monarch. Other places with Crown Land include Australia, Austria, France, Poland, Spain, Vietnam, Hong Kong, and even Hawaii. Just like in America, these spaces serve a variety of purposes like hunting, fishing, hiking, mining, logging, grazing, and more. Phil, give us a scoreboard update. We have two questions left.
Well, that's right. And everyone except for Evan and Chester are still in the game.
Good job. Good job, Chester.
Apologies. Evan and Chester have 2 points apiece. Corinne, Corey, and Seth all have 3 points. And then Steve and Sean are tied with 5 points in first place.
We're like at the Shelby Index.
It would be a six. So we got two questions left. Question 9. The topic is fishing. What Rocky Mountain state has a fishing blade named after it that's commonly used on worm harnesses and spinner baits? What Rocky Mountain state has a fishing blade named after it that's commonly used on worm harnesses and spinner baits?
Chester, you have to know this.
A quick answer from Seth and Sean. Chester, his jaw is on the floor because he can't think of the answer. Steve, how you feel about this one?
Chester does more trolling than anyone in this room.
I'm going to... I don't want to tell people my approach. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm working through it, though.
Looking for a Rocky Mountain state has a fishing blade named after it.
Chet, I know you know it. It's in that brain of yours. It's in there.
Listen for the whisper.
It sounds like Corinne.
Minnesota. The great Rocky Mountain state of Minnesota. Does everybody have an answer?
What the heck? I know I'm going to be really pissed off. Yeah.
You better just write down a state if you ain't got one.
Well, I think if I knew it, it would just...
Steve, you got an answer?
Do you know this one?
Well, I mean, I wrote one down, but no, I'm not feeling cocky. Where are you at on this, Sean? You got it.
Yeah, about 90% on
what
this
you put
one.
Down there, buddy?
I'm trying to stay on a hot streak here.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We got Corey saying Colorado, Sean saying Colorado, Seth saying Colorado, Evan saying Colorado, Steve saying Colorado.
Wow, everyone got
saying
it.
Everyone says Colorado, and they got it. Man, the correct answer is Colorado.
Oh, I'm glad you got that, Chester.
Colorado blades are more stout than other types of spinners, creating a slower rotation and heavier vibration. According to WalleyeSupply.com, Colorado blades are their number one selling type of spinner. There are also Idaho blades, which are created by placing a Colorado blade on an elongated snap loop.
You know why I think you messed up?
What's up?
Just to be frank.
Okay.
I think that the reason you got the answer you did is because you said Rocky Mountain State.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just not a thing that people say unless they're like John Denver fans. Everybody in this room is thinking,
Rocky Mountain High.
That's why everybody brought up Colorado. No one says like, Idaho, a Rocky Mountain State. It's like Colorado...
That's a really
good
point.
Name branded that shit, man.
But here's why I had to be specific. Indiana has a blade named after it. Ohio has a blade named after it.
I could easily solve those two for you. West of the Mississippi. West of the Great Bend in the Missouri.
Spencer, everything Steve's talking about never entered my mind for a second.
It did too.
It did. Yeah, but that's because you knew it.
So let me ask
you.
You
went Rocky Mountain to Rocky Mountain.
So let me ask a technical question.
Let's hear it.
Because the Idaho Would you?
I'd give it to you if you said Idaho.
Okay.
Because
the modification.
And I don't think anybody
the
would. There's only one. I think it's Yakima Supply sells Idaho blades.
Okay.
So it's like not very well known. But if you did know that and you said Idaho, I'd give it to you.
Okay. When
there's a
Steve
reason
said,
everybody put down
you,
Colorado.
Yeah. When he said, I'm going to tell you my approach, I was like, yeah, he's putting Colorado because it makes sense with Rocky Mountain.
So this all comes down to the final question. One more time, Phil.
John Denver, didn't he?
Update.
Did he die crash? I always confuse him and Sonny Bono dying. One of them died skiing
plane.
And one of them died flying.
It was an
Denver was
experimental
plane.
Plane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. It was full of shit.
Well, I mean, it's down to Sean and Steve who have 6 points apiece.
Nobody has five?
Nobody has five.
Okay. Sean and Steve.
Oh, dude, we could go to a tiebreaker. I gave you a good tiebreaker the other day to try out.
We haven't had a tiebreaker in a good long time. Question 10. The topic is deer camp. This lager, which calls itself the official beer of the American sportsman.
Oh, lager.
L-A-G-E-R.
They said lager.
Which calls itself the official beer of the American sportsman, usually comes in red cans that feature wildlife on them. This lager, which calls itself the official beer of the American sportsman, usually comes in red cans that feature wildlife on them. Fairly confident looking Steve. Sean has yet to write anything down, though. Steve, you think you got it?
Fine.
Mm-mm. You don't think you got it?
There's two different red cans, and I
just think to yourself.
Well, no one else has a shot.
That's true. Go on.
And it is, they call themselves the official beer of the American sportsman. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We got Corey saying Budweiser,
God,
Sean saying Ham, Seth saying Old Milwaukee, Evan saying
yeah,
Bud,
that was the other
Steve thing. Saying Old Mill, Corinne saying Rainier, Chester saying Old Milwaukee.
Before you reveal the answer, can I tell you a funny story?
I've never heard of the beer Old Mill.
I like it.
Old Mill.
It comes in both a blue and a red.
Who's
too,
that?
Right?
Well, everybody's hanging on the edge of their seats. Who's that poet that wrote Jabberwocky? It's like a famous poem you read in high school.
Lewis Carroll.
Oh. So when I was in high school in Mr. Heaton's class in 10th grade, you had to write a poem set to Jabberwocky. So you had to take the same rhyme scheme and pentameter.
Okay.
And I did one called Bonfire Burnin' Wocky. Now,
God dang.
The thing I'm most jealous of in life is the kid that came up with the idea to do Old Milwaukee.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's great.
So that's how you know this one?
No. Okay. I just thought of that. But I think it's Old Mill.
Because if that's how you knew this, I would be pissed. That's the age thing.
No, because they
again.
Had branded themselves this way, but I think this is a reinvention. It was Fair. A reinvention of the brand, if I'm not mistaken.
The tension has built.
Either way, I'm thirsty. Mm.
The correct answer is Schmidt.
Nobody
oh,
got it right.
Nobody got it.
Just you can just edit out yeah. my whole story, Phil.
Schmidt's cans have featured Schmitz. Trout, pheasants, whitetails, grizzlies, black bear, elk, antelope, geese, muskie, bison, pike, and more. The beer has changed ownership multiple times since its creation in 1844, but today it's brewed by Pabst Brewing.
Mm. In Milwaukee.
Blue Ribbon.
I think it's right? now brewed in San Antonio.
Oh, Schmitty's. Gosh.
Does that, can you now see the Schmidt can
yeah,
like
yeah.
that has yeah, wildlife on it?
Yeah.
So with six correct
answers. Because
who
does answers, the camo can during deer season? Bush.
A lot of people. Yeah. Keystone used to do it. Yeah. Bush does it.
Bush is like the OG camo can though, right?
I don't know. In college, we'd always go after the Keystelopes. We were such suckers for these gimmicks that these beers would do.
Oh, same, yeah.
Where they would have the mounted thing in the box and
yep.
you had to get the golden can that
oh,
would have.
Yeah.
The trout on it that then you then like put on your wall and that was your decoration in
yep.
your dorm room.
Then your house would have like
Bush,
the whole set of
oh,
gold
yeah.
cans you'd accumulate.
Bush did
and
the,
shows
yeah,
how
Bush
much
did the gold can thing.
They did those.
I remember I got a gold can one time and I was like, I'm going to save this forever. And then the next time we ran out of beer, I drank it.
Yeah, I lost my gold Bush can. I took it with me through one move from Vermilion, South Dakota to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It was
Dakota.
A loosely held conviction.
Going from South Dakota to Montana, I lost it. So
oh,
I had it for a good long time. We're going to overtime. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
That doesn't make any sense at all. You're first, you're last. You can be second.
You can be third, fourth, hell, you can be fifth.
The tiebreaker will be a numerical question. Whoever is closest between Steve and Sean will be declared the winner. The topic is gear. What is the average price for a .22 long rifle round in August of 2022? I got this number by taking the average of over 90 listings online from some of the world's biggest ammo dealers. So looking for the average price of a .22 long rifle round in August and write it with a decimal place.
Just one round.
Just one singular .22 bullet. What does that cost? Write it to a decimal place. Again, I got this number by looking at over 90 listings online from some of the biggest ammo dealers in the world. Steve, a lot of writing. How are you feeling about this?
I'm in the ballpark.
This question
was... I know we're splitting hairs on this one.
We haven't gotten to overtime in so long that this was about to be a not relevant question anymore.
Oh, how long ago did you collect this data?
August 2022.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Got an answer?
Oh, no, I keep... I did like some math, but I don't... With them looking at it, I don't like it.
If the rest of the room wants to play along, you can also write something. We'll hear your answers, too, to see who did get the closest.
I think my saving grace here might be that I was listening to the marriage episode, and sounds like you're pretty bad at mental math.
Okay. Well, I write it all down.
He did do the conversion on the first question of tablespoons and teaspoons. Good on you, Steve, for knowing that all of those were the same. Everybody have an answer. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We'll look at the non-competitors first.
There's a huge split between me and Sean, which is great.
We have Seth
you
saying...
You think it's not even...
We have Seth saying 38 cents.
That'd
we
be
have
8
Evans
cents.
Saying 11.3 cents. Corey saying 69 cents. Nice. Chester saying 75 cents. And then our two competitors left. We have Sean saying 8 cents. And Steve saying 25 cents.
Oh, so that's 8. He's saying 8. I thought he was saying like a... Okay.
You're saying 8 cents,
eight
correct?
Cents.
8 cents. And Steve 0.25.
I'm high, but it's high right now.
And our winner of Meat Eater Trivia is Steve.
Hey!
No way! Second
I won!
Way.
The correct
this
answer
was so close.
The correct answer was 17.6 cents.
Oh.
Oh
man. See, you guys were right
there. So I won?
You won.
By a penny, practically.
By a plum. Eight, seven.
You know what really pisses me off is I had 10 cents and then
who is closest? Sean.
Steve was closer.
Yeah, Steve was closer because it's about 9 and something cents between Sean's answer and the correct one.
And it was 17. Yeah.
17.6 cents.
Yeah, he's
been 7.4 cents.
What are our rules on who we donate to? Because in honor of Evan being here, I want to donate to Evan's favorite veterans organization, but we have rules about how it needs to be like a conservation-based.
If they're a nonprofit and they do something that's anywhere... Anything close to our universe of hunting, fishing, conservation, cooking, go ahead and donate to them.
You got to tell me what it is, though.
It's called Hunter 7, which is a veterans organization that we donate to all the time. They don't do anything hunting related, but it does say Hunter 7 in it, which is related to veteran toxicity and exposure to heavy metals and chemicals overseas. Has nothing to do with hunting.
Yeah, but I like it. It's got the word Hunter in it.
Hunter 7.
Is it okay?
Hunter 7 does awesome.
Yeah, whatever you want.
So if it has Hunter in it, right? Hunter 7.
I'm going to donate to in honor of Evan joining us today.
I appreciate it.
And in his advocacy for veterans, I'm going to vote for a organization. I'm going to put my money to an organization that you guys put backing into, which is...
That's right. And we'll match it. We'll do the same
thing. Tell it again.
Hunters 7. So it's
Hunters 7. It's got the word Hunters in it.
Yep.
It's a veterans organization. That's what I'm going
with. They do
with.
A lot of great work. Huge percentage there. Overwhelmingly, a percentage goes back to screening for heavy metals, chemicals, and things like that that veterans have been exposed to in deployments in either Iraq or Afghanistan, directly related to burn pits, which... leads to over a 325% increase in cancers in veterans related to their peer group. So it's a big issue for guys like me that have been overseas a lot. It's something that's on the forefront of our mind all the time, which is, am I going to come up with a random cancer because based on what I've been exposed to in combat? So it's not just combat that'll kill you. It might be a bunch of other shit too.
I like it. Now, Evan, before we get out of here, is there anything new and exciting happening at Black Rifle Coffee that our listeners should know about?
There's always tons of really cool stuff that's going on in Black Rifle Coffee, but we're doing the episode, I did an episode with Steve. He can talk about. We're also doing this collab. So we're doing a collab coffee between Black Rifle Coffee and Meat Eater. Pack Out Coffee, which is the design is awesome.
That's it's a kick-ass bag.
It's great. The gnome packing out the unicorn.
Kick-ass bag. Exactly.
Quick. It's a awesome bag design. It's a great coffee. So it's a South American. Well, I can go into the specifics of it, but it's a Colombian Arabica bean. Single origin Colombian Arabica. So it's a medium roast for Steve's specification. So it's not too dark. It's not too light.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Evan was it that told me, this would be a good trivia question for you. Does light roast or dark roast have more caffeine?
Light roast.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. He told me that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're launching. So the first episode of our most recent season, The Meat Eater, features Evan Hafer. We're hunting blacktail deer in Southeast Alaska. And for a window of time, I'm not sure how long, our first window, we're going to put our new episodes on our website. So this is the first time this has ever happened. The first place you'll be able to see them is free on our website. So go check it out at themeateater.com. New season episodes. What are you? Corinne's gesticulating that it's today.
And how do folks get this coffee, though?
She's trying to gesticulate today.
Same. Go to meateater.com and you can buy it right there.
Themeateater.com.
TheMeatEater.
We're selling this on our website. Awesome. Great packaging.
Thank you.
That's it for this round of Meat Eater Trivia. Join us next time for more of the only game show where conservation always wins. Sean is shaking his head.
Good job.
Good job. Pissed off.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable, they're very fashionable, and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.